This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on The Bigger Picture and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Past the glass door from the lobby into Datuk Seri Kalimula Hassan's office in Bangunan ECM Libra are more paintings. By the entrance on the left wall are four large works, although there is a space enough for five. One is by Eng Tay, a Kedah-born artist now based in New York. This is a painting of a full-bodied couple on a love seat, eyes closed. She leans into the small of his neck. She is in a flowered pink top and bright red pants, knees crossed, right over left. He sitting on her left, arm over her shoulders, in earth tones. His knees also crossed, left over right in mirror image. In her arms, a babe swaddled in blue. Past the wooden balcony in the distance, purple washed hills, above which float fluffy clouds with hints of purple also. A picture of contentment. There is a calm, a serenity as if to say, God is in his heaven and all is well on earth. Beside this work are three others by Radwan Man, Ibrahim Hussein and Syed Tajuddin respectively. There was a fifth painting on the wall by Yusuf Ghani, but it is on loan to the Edge Gallery in Mount Kiara for an exhibition titled Shared Passion, Art of Yusuf Ghani from the Datuk Seri Kalimula Hassan Collection and the Yusuf Ghani Collection. This exhibition has given me an excuse to talk to the collector about art, collecting and collecting Yusuf Ghani. But when did he first acquire art?
More than 10 years ago. My wife has been collecting a long time, I think about 20 years, whatever she could afford. But I really started buying in bulk more than 10 years ago when I was editor-in-chief of Straits Times. We used to have these exhibitions by young artists all the time. And as you know, I think NST has got one of the best collections of Ibrahim Hussein's, and they've got Latapes and all these things. They're good from the old days. I don't know where they're keeping it. They should have an exhibition. But anyway, when this young artist came to exhibit and I was asked to open the exhibitions, I took pity on them because a lot of them couldn't sell the paintings. We had a lot of traffic, but people would buy one piece, two piece and all that. So towards the end, when I see that they haven't sold a lot of the pieces, I'll just sapu everything, taking pity on them, right? And then they will give me a discount. I got a lot of these young artist paintings, which are real cheap, one. And number two, a lot of them never made the grade. So I've got quite a lot of these paintings in my storerooms and all that. But then I started buying the more established artists like Khalil Ibrahim and Makmur Jantan, Chua Tenting and all these guys. As I could afford it, I started buying more and more. And later on, when I started quitting my businesses and I had a bit more money selling my shares after that, I started buying more and more.
I suppose collecting can be addictive.
I've just started to love it so much. I just buy what I like. If you see my collection of Burmese art, I've got a huge collection of Burmese art. Some people tell me, you said it may not go up in value. Some people say it will. It doesn't matter to me. I just like it so much. And I found that when I give a presents of this art to my friends for their anniversaries, for their birthdays, and they really appreciate it. I went to a friend's house in Penang over the weekend. This is my first trip since my surgery. So I gave him this Burmese art by this artist called Zhao Min for his 70th birthday. And he has got it in the pride of his place in his house. Mind you, he has got Man Sen, he has Young Man Sen, he has got Urungji, he has got Chua Tenting and all that. But this one was in the pride in his hall, pride of place. So they really appreciate it. They love it because it's so nice. It's a painting of the Shwedagon Pagoda.
Datuk Seri Kalimula Hassan describes the art collecting scene in the country.
There's more appreciation now. You can see, as when I go to the galleries, you see a lot of young people actually buying a lot of art compared to even 3 years ago, you know. Of course, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, even now you see a lot of traders. They buy art, 2 months later they sell it for 500, 1,000 ringgit profit. But now you see young people actually going there and it gives you a sense of pride because this is how Indonesia and Vietnam and all that started. China, for example, one day I'll tell you a story about my friend who made $25 million buying paintings from Taiwanese artists for $1 million and selling it 3 years later. You know, 3-4 years ago, you only see traders in the art galleries. They go there, they buy something and they sell it off. But today you actually see young people, collectors, not only the young people, some people who have come into some money at the later stage, middle age, lower, and they actually buy art for the appreciation. I see even in my office here, my staff, my CEO, for example, some of my senior executives, they actually save their money. They buy. They don't buy many. They buy 2 pieces a year, maybe 3. But they buy it to keep, so they have the appreciation. And I think that's very encouraging. It's growing, but maybe not at the pace that you and I want.
It was only later that Dato' Sri Kalimul Hassan acquired Yusof Ghani's works.
Yusof Ghani was quite recent, I think about 3, maybe 4 years ago. I said I didn't know how to appreciate abstract work. My wife loves it, though. Actually, it's Wong Chun Wai of Star who got me interested in Yusof Ghani. And he was collecting Yusof Ghani. He told me, he said, "Hey, bro, you better collect this because this guy is going to go." This one. So I started buying 1-2 pieces. Then Yusof wanted to meet up with me because I was trying to buy one of his big pieces which he was selling. And then we became friends. And then he started explaining to me about his art. I'm not really a connoisseur in that sense. So when he explained to me, and then I started seeing the beauty of his art. If you ask me today to explain, I am not really very good at that. I got to like it. You know, I buy pieces which I like.
It is interesting to note the journey of this artist from Pontian, Johor, who was born before Malaya's independence. Throughout his growing up years, he drew and painted, catching the attention of his family, his art teacher in school, including the geography teacher who would ask Yusof Ghani to be the cartographer whenever a map was required in class. At 17, he started tutoring other students in art. After finishing secondary school, he lived as a street artist, then as an illustrator, and later as a graphic artist. In 1978, Yusof Ghani left for the United States to pursue a degree in graphic design. While at the George Mason University, he enrolled in fine arts courses and there met someone who told him to pursue being a full-time fine arts student. He did. He is an abstract expressionist, a far cry from a graphic designer, each with his different ways of representing life and life's experiences. Coming up, Datuk Sri Kalimullah Hassan tells what draws him to Yusof Ghani's works, and from the artist's own mouth, what his works are about and what compels him to paint. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. You're listening to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Right now, there is an exhibition at the Edge Gallery in Mount Kiara of works by Yusof Ghani. The exhibits come from the private collections of Dato' Sri Kalimul Hassan and the artist Yusof Ghani, respectively. They will remain on display till February 13th. I asked Dato' Kalimullah what drew him to the artist's works.
The brush strokes, the colors, for example, the Wajah and Toping series, a lot of people get, they don't like the, because they say it's scary. But I like it. I find it very artistic, and I've got a few huge pieces which my wife won't let me put up in the house. So I put it up in the office or put it up in my son's apartment. And of course, the Sri Tari series, which I like very much, and I've been trying to buy in auction houses because you can't get it anywhere now.
I have seen Yusof Ghani's Omba exhibition at Sasana Kijang Bank Negara Malaysia Museum and Art Gallery. There is a freedom in the artist's work, as expressed in the bold swaths of moving colors cutting in diagonals, as if they possess so much energy they want to leap off the canvas into space. Some pieces in the Ombak series are bright like the scene of a forest fire out of control, others quite dark with dark blues fading into black, but no less dynamic and filled with unrestrained kinetic energy as the brighter ones. The artist has painted these as if with abandon, as if his dialogue with the canvas is so intense and personal that we cannot participate, but only as observers eavesdropping on the conversation. I also ask Dato' Sri Kalimullah Hassan, as a collector of works by artists from different nations, What does he see in Yusof Ghani's works that makes him Malaysian?
But you know, like for example, like the Wajah series, I've got this couple of pieces, and I said, Yusof, can you just explain to me? I see all these faces with different expressions. What is it all about? And he tells me, he said, oh no, this is about the fishermen. He said, it's their different faces they go through when they don't get a catch, when they get a catch. And then when you start looking at it, then you say, hey, yeah, man. You know, they have about 13 different faces in this thing. And you see a guy who's looking forlorn, and there's a guy who's happy. Then you realize that, you know, we've got our fishermen, that the problems that they have faced all over the years with the drought season, you know, and then they have the monsoon season, the floods and all that, how they suffer. And I also remember this Kuala Terengganu by-election. Coming back to my journalistic, this one, this is about 4 or 5 years ago, and this friend of mine, the minister, went to campaign at this fishing village in Kuala Terengganu. He was telling the fishermen, he said, look, you should vote for Barisan and we'll bring you progress and all that. The guy says, he said, oh, I'm very proud that you came to my house, YB, is it, you know? But over the last 30 odd years, I've always voted for Barisan. Then I got disappointed, I voted for PAS, then I voted for Barisan. But the last 25 years I've lived in this house, every time the waves come in, I'm not sure whether my house will survive. It might be washed away. And he says, I'm just tired of you politicians. He said, I'm not going to vote. And then that reminded me of, when Yusof was explaining to me, it reminded me of that incident, the turmoils and the hardships that these fishermen go through. So I think it's captured in a lot of his paintings. Yeah.
I met with the artist at the Edge Gallery. I've tried to interview him earlier, but he was not well. He tells me he's just now still recovering. We find a quiet corner, on both sides, paintings from his Ombak series. I want to find out from him what in his painting captures Malaysianness.
Maybe the color itself, maybe the stroke. People keep telling me also, I don't see an American campaign like this. Yes, because of the aesthetic element. Then people say, this is like a batik, you know. It's very, what we call decorative in the way. Batik, you know. And we are, you know, very, what we call it, ornamental, very cantik-cantik one, you know. It's just like that. So it's in the way, okay. It does have, even the other painting also, even my wajah also, they have a kind of flow, that composition, and even some of the color I play in it. But that's influenced me, you know, because that's why I makan belacan, okay, you know, petai, you know, and then, you know, things like that, and I smell and I breathe the air, the Malaysian air, it's all there. The belacan is there, the petai is there, you know, and then the air is there, the feeling, the expression, so it comes that way.
But what are his paintings about? Datuk Seri Kalimullah Hassan.
Well, I've been to his house many times, and I've seen Yusof doing his paintings, and you see the involvement, you see the passion that this guy has got in doing the paintings, and you start appreciating it, because, I mean, I was a journalist before. You appreciate good writing, right? You read all the best writers, whether it's from US or Turkey or Europe, and you start, I wouldn't say hero worshipping, start admiring the skills that they have got in writing. So the same way I started admiring Yusof's skills in painting, the passion that he's got. I'm sure you've been to his gallery in Shah Alam, where he's got all his paintings on over several floors and all over the place. And if you ask me to put a word to it, I'll find it difficult. I think as a it's quite shameful as a journalist, I can't put a word to it, but I started loving his pieces, yeah.
It's this story that Ghani tells that I think I will always remember. He recalls a time in the 80s, while in the United States as an emerging artist, taking a taxi to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. The driver happened to be a Nigerian immigrant, with whom he fell into a conversation and debate. The driver challenged him to justify artworks which sell for millions of dollars when there are people suffering and even dying from malnutrition. The encounter forced him to question the role of art. He would use it to communicate what he saw in the world, the things that troubled him. Art had to be more than aesthetics that hang on the walls of those who can afford it, the rich. The artist explains this way.
There are a few paintings which is quite strong as a kind of message that I want to convey. Even the recent election also, I did a painting the whole night to express my anger toward this, you know, the imbalance. So it's a kind of thing that nobody really understand, you know. It's between me and the painting, you know. And sometimes I don't have to say it out, you know. It might offend somebody. But actually it's between me and the painting, and somebody might like the painting and then they put it in the house, but they don't know actually what's going on inside the painting, the content, the story behind the painting, the total freedom and an explosion of my emotion. That's why when I paint, even my family said, leave that alone. I know, it's in the strands, you know. When I paint, I really express myself. These few weeks, because I was sick, and I told my wife just now, I think because I don't paint, there's a reason, you know. So I need to go back to my studio. You cannot stop me this time. If I keep on doing, you know, sitting down. So what I'm going to say that painting is a kind of a therapy also for me. You know, expression, if something that you read, okay, in the newspaper, the news, something, you're very happy with it. I always express that into my work. So it's a kind of arena where I put all my anger, my emotion into that canvas. And sometimes that canvas itself become like a dialogue to me. We talk to each other, you know. We paint, we talk. And then it's the kind of thing I really, really enjoy so much, you know. I really sometimes told myself, I know what I'm going to do if I'm not a painter. It's a cool job, man. You know, something that really, really enjoy so much, you know. And I want to share that, of course. But there must be an aesthetic acceptance. Aesthetic. That means they can put the painting in the house, they can enjoy it, they have put it in the dining, next to the dining table, or inside the bedroom, you know. So the aesthetic element always become a prime concern also, to be accepted by the viewers or by the society.
But certainly communicating through the painting itself is important. I looked at his Sagarat Series 5, completed in 2014. They all have sweeps of yellow melting to shades of orange, red, and rust, obscuring the line drawings of human forms that are standing still of their own accord or trapped under compulsion. In Sagarat Series 5, number 1, the human forms look as if they are dancing or protesting. I asked Yusuf Gani what he thinks about what's going on in the country and the role of the artist in nation building.
Everything changed here. Over time, you know, even the acceptance in the arts, our thoughts or to our expression also. So when I did a painting, I call it uprising. It's a kind of it's a awakening. It's something that people sadar. People, wow, look here, man. Huh? There are not right thing going on here. You know, there are totally something there. So it's a change that change that comes along with time. Maybe our exposure, maybe to the communication, you know, transmitting communication, information, even the internet, people travel, people are really travel nowadays, and that's influenced the society, influenced the mind, and that's also helped me especially to think things in my life that me revisited again, you know, look back at my what happening 30 years ago, or 50 years ago when I was back in Johor at that time, you know, and we can see, and then this is something different totally, that people beginning to accept, and people willing to share things together. And then a few days ago, somebody approached me to have a show in Shah Alam, to do international art banali in Shah Alam. I said, wow, I don't mind doing it, as long as the state government willing to give me some money. You know? So these are the things that I want to do, you know. I want to do, I put aside all these unnecessary things, you know.
I tease him that he's always safe enough for Bank Negara. He responds.
I always balance myself. That's important. Balance is important, you know. Whatever it is, you must take a lot of things under consideration in life, you know. Sometimes, you know, there are certain things that you are not very, truly not very happy with it. But at times you need to compromise and then follow the crowd, you know? Follow the tune, I call it, follow the tempo sometimes. But as an artist, because we have this freedom of expression that you can let anything up there, you know, and nobody can know that. But it's all about something you don't like, something you're dissatisfied, or something that you want to tell the world that this is that you need to understand that.
I push a little further, pointing out that visual art, and in particular abstract art in protest, is a lot safer than a 100-word essay, since many don't quite understand the communication. The risk of arrest is low for an abstract expressionist. He laughed.
Okay, all right, of course. Okay, because the level of understanding is different, of course, okay? Some people are really quite ignorant, you know, they don't understand what's going on there in the first place.
Before I leave him, I ask, what would the Nigerian taxi driver say to him now? If he were here, seeing Yusuf Ghani in a gallery surrounded by works which have earned him more than just a comfortable life.
Art is totally different. It becomes like a community. And really surprised me. I would always keep on telling myself, wow, 20 years ago, I would never come through my mind that we people are willing to spend that much money, a kind of like investment, you know, and then become like a... And sometimes I don't understand that now, especially in the auction house. My painting back in 1984, the Tari, you know, selling for 900 ringgit, the most is 1,000 ringgit. The auction for like 210,000, you know. So it's a kind of acceptance, first of all, and then people kind of find another alternative, maybe, for kind of satisfaction. You know, some people, they have money, of course, and they're satisfied with that money, but they were much more satisfied if that money they use for something that they satisfy him, especially painting, which is very profound, maybe, you know, the meaning, the multiple meaning and things like that. So I will tell the Nigerian that these things happen to everybody, of course. and then I can never stop that, okay? I never dream about it also.
Shared passion, art of Yusuf Ghani from the Dato' Sri Kalimullah Hassan collection and the Yusuf Ghani collection will run until February 13th at the Edge Gallery in Mount Kiara. Gallery hours are from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. from Tuesday through Saturday. It's closed on Mondays and public holidays. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.